from Studio C, senors and senoritas, and then the rest of you. Live from a dimly lit room deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Entormation Complex, this is the Armstrong and Getty Show, live in living color for this 2nd of December, the year of our Lord, I think, 2021. Greetings. This morning, oh, he is on the phone? He is on the phone. Well, hang on. All right, bring him up then. This morning we're we're laboring under, nobody's tootling, I hope not. We're laboring under the tutelage of our honorary general manager, Peak Stupid. Sound the alarm, ladies and gentlemen. We are at peak. My finely tuned instruments have detected the national discourse, the media, the politics, policy. They have reached, they've reached the apex of stupid. Things can only get better from here. It's impossible for society to continue this stupid. It seems like bad news. It's the dark before the dawn. Please welcome my co-host, Jack Armstrong.
I can't wait to hear your examples of why Peak Stupid is our general manager. I'm sure there are plenty.
Virtually everything we talk about will illustrate the point.
So we have some good audio from the Supreme Court oral arguments yesterday that we can play for you. We got the new Omicron various mandates that are being leaked out from the government to talk about. That's very exciting stuff.
Did you say Omicron, Mr. Biden?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, I know. Whatever it is. You know what it ain't? Anything to worry about, as far as anybody can tell.
I got somebody. There's somebody who's got the Omicron like 50 miles from where I am right now.
Good Lord.
I can have it myself.
Good. You probably do.
I like the news coverage. So breaking news. There is a case of Omicron in the United States. The man has mild symptoms and seems to be fine. Well, okay, exactly. Why are you shouting? What is the exciting part of this?
Great example of being at peak stupid. How many times have you heard about this damn variant over the last 72 hours? And as far as anybody can tell, it is of zero significance. Yet we're acting like it's an alien invasion. You're acting like Martians are melting people with death rays. What the hell, people?
Oh, that is funny. We are acting like it's an alien invasion. It is the same level of excitement as if we have an announcement, a spacecraft never seen before by humans has landed, and little green men are getting off in there vaporizing people with ray guns.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So there's some poor geek in San Francisco got the sniffles. I reacted to that like, yeah, who cares? I figured there are plenty, but there's probably 150 people in the country with that variant. It's all over the friggin' world. Come on!
Is there a single example of somebody who's gotten really sick from it yet? I don't think there is.
Not that I'm aware of. We've heard from the doctors in South Africa that in the main, everybody seems to be very, very mildly ill. You know what you're not hearing because it doesn't get clicks. Actually, this might get clicks, but that it could be a very mild variant that sweeps across and everybody gets it. Vaccinated, unvaccinated, gives everybody natural immunity. Could be the best thing that ever happened. As I've said 100 times, nobody cares. Viruses tend to mutate to the point of less lethality. It's better for the virus. It would make sense that Omicron is more innocent, less dangerous, yet we're acting like it's the war of the GD worlds.
So I guess, there was a lot of criticism from the left about the way Trump handled the virus in the early days. I guess we're getting a look at what it would have been like if a Democrat had been president when COVID hit. Can you imagine what that would have looked like?
Well, with vaccination rates at 0%, I think it would have looked a lot like Australia with their absolutely mind-bogglingly draconian lockdowns. And you think the Aussies are pissed? Try that on Americans, friends.
Oh, we got to play the clip. Did you see that thing on Tucker Carlson last night about the people that escaped from the COVID camp?
No. Once again, I was watching the Beatles show.
So good for you. That's a much better idea for your health and sanity and everything else. So they've got these COVID camps. Well, I'll tell you about it after we officially start the show. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It is How Did It Get to Be Thursday Already? December the 2nd. Hey, wait a second. Is it my mom's birthday? The year 2021, where Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Let's begin the show officially now, according to FCC rules and regs. Here we go. Forging ahead, fighting through the stupid, like salmon swimming upstream at Mark.
Now, I can't promise that every person will get every gift they want on time. Only Santa Claus can keep that promise.
All right. That's an effort at humor. It's okay.
Charm.
Acting like you should be angry about that, that's peak stupid. It's fine. Some old man made a little joke about Santa Claus. It wasn't funny, but it was fine.
Were people upset about that?
I don't know. Everybody's upset about everything all the time, and I'm upset about that.
I'll talk about the COVID camp later when we can play the sound, because it's really quite amazing. You think we shut down around here some places. Holy crap. What they're doing in Australia is amazing. Since the president referenced the supply chain thing, so I got smashed into. Somebody smashed into my car. I mentioned that earlier in the week, over last Wednesday, busiest driving day of the year, Wednesday, and somebody smashes on the side of my car, I think because they hate electric vehicles. I don't know. I got to be a victim, don't I? But they smash in the side of my car, and I go through the insurance stuff, and I do all that sort of stuff, and now so I'm calling the places to get my car fixed onto that part. And so I call a place yesterday, saying I've got my estimate. I got my estimate, and I'd like to get my car fixed. And they said we're currently backed up until late February.
Holy crap!
I said, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll call someone else." And they said, "Okay." And I called somebody else. And they said, "We could get you in end of January, maybe if we have some cancellations." And I said, "That's 2 months from now, really." So what's going on? And they said, "Because of the supply chain issues, all the parts have been sitting off in those container ships offshore, and nobody's been getting any cars fixed for a long time, and now we're starting to get the parts, but we're so far behind, you're going to be several months out everywhere." So there's another example of inflation, because, you know, they're hiring more people to try to keep up because they're printing money, you got to believe, at all these, you know, places where they fix cars. They're probably going to raise prices because supply and demand, and everything just gets more expensive.
Well, I'm half surprised Tesla parts come from overseas, but I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Well, it doesn't have to be a Tesla part. All the other parts for the other cars, they're behind on all the other cars.
Oh, sure,
Before they can get to me, they've got to fix all these other cars that have been waiting for months. But
well, and there's an enormous pinch in shipping in general, as I understand it.
Right, but so that's how you get your overheated economy. It's everything. Everything you can think of is like that. So, interesting. It's not going away anytime soon. I can understand why the Fed last week said this is not transitory. Inflation is not transitory. It's going to be here for a while. I'd say. Anyway, how does mailbag look?
Oh, it's pretty strong, as I recall. I don't know. I'll whip it into shape. Stay tuned.
That's all. That's awesome. So text line is 415.
I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to use that expression anymore, according to Brandeis University. I will caress it into arousal. No, that's not better. That's worse. I'll get it ready.
I'll stroke it into readiness. That really seems wrong.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Clearly not the right thing. Yeah.
No. Not
all that is on the way next.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Well, I started out down a dirty road.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for tuning in, listening to the podcast, or whatever you're doing. It's none of my business what you're doing. Here's your freedom-loving quote of the day. First of all, as I declared Monday, today, or this week's theme would be great quotes about liberty from women. And it's interesting. I've been scouring the interwebs, and there are many, many lists of quotes from women about empowering women, which is great. I mean, it's lovely. But there seems to be a bit of a shortage of gals just talking about general principles. But anyway, having said that, I kind of like this one. This is from Rosalind Carter, Jimmy's wife. Putting aside, you know, the politics of it and what you think about Jimma, I just thought it was a really interesting quote. A leader takes people where they want to go. a great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but ought to be.
Well, that can be great depending on where that leader thinks people needed to go.
Well, right. And then a horrific leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but where he thinks they ought to be. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah. If we collectivize our farming, that'll be better for everyone. Millions of people may die in the short term, but it'll be better for humanity in the long run, has been the view of a number of people throughout history.
Exactly. Yes, yes. If we have to kill the 50,000 kulaks to get where we're going, all the better. Super. Here's your mailbag. Hey.
Super.
Okay. So I only mentioned this because we got a number of emails of this sort. We were mentioning Billboard's top 10 artists of all time. And we got all sorts of notes like this one from Rye. As a fellow musician, I had to comment on not hearing David Bowie's name on the list. What the? Janet Jackson, Madonna, no Bowie? Also no Stones, no Springsteen, The Who maybe? He cranked out brilliant music from the late 60s till his death, blah, blah, blah. Listen, Billboard counts record sales and airplay. Period. It ain't about quality. If food was rated by Billboard, McDonald's hamburgers would kill juicy tender steaks. Okay? It's not a value judgment. Just numbers. And I'm not sure this is going to take all the time. I was going to say, this is going to be one of those rare single email mailbags, but it might not be. I found this very interesting. Al Anonymous writes, I work in corporate real estate. In a past life, I was in charge of leased stores for a national healthy grocery chain in California.
Gotcha.
I don't know if you realize it, the big giant grocery store there at the end of the strip mall or whatever in the middle of it, that's owned by the mall. It's rented by the grocery store. So he managed that stuff. Typically, retail tenants pay their proportionate share of the expense a landlord incurs in operating a retail property shopping center. One of these included costs, often security. I had a store in a prominent, wealthy region of Central California. He wanted it off the air. I don't know why. Wealthy Central Coast. Figured out. Anyway, where we originally paid the landlord about $80,000 a year for our share of security expenses. That's in 2017. $80,000. By 2019, we were paying $300,000 a year for our share of security for the shopping center.
Whoa.
Why, that's almost quadruple. Plus, we began retaining our own private security just for our store in addition. We don't sell flashy items. We sold food. But even our shrink, meaning retail theft and physical threat to our customers, required this level of response. Had another store in San Francisco where the homes across the street sold for $2 to $4 million each, but the streets were lined with tents and bums and junkies. They would hide out in the fire stairs of the garage, which cannot be locked due to code. They effectively became hobo hotels. Twice the stairs were set on fire. We had to pressure wash the garage for waste and filth weekly, had customers attacked in the garage, on the streets, our walls regularly graffitied and defaced. If you think call the cops, you're wrong. Retailers actually had to sign several forms with the local authorities stating that you want them to enforce your property rights and respond to trespass violations. Without these forms on file, which have to be refiled annually and sometimes for a fee, the cops will not respond.
What kind of a weird socialist country system is that form thing?
And that was a few years back. No, now nobody responds at all. These sorts of operational issues and expenses ate up our margins and left the stores barely breaking even throughout the Bay Area. Then the state contemplated removing the property 13 property tax protections for commercial properties. If you follow that in Cal Unicornia, great. If you didn't, you don't need to. But it would have vastly raised property taxes for commercial properties, especially older ones that had not been sold and therefore had not had their property tax readjusted. Undoubtedly, we'd have had to close many older locations. When you hear unicorn riders saying we should tax the rich and the corporations, remind them that the corporations will just leave. In this particular case, lots of Cal Unicornia communities would have seen their local healthy grocery store close for good, not return. And more significantly, that grocer would not be replaced by any other retailer due to the expense. Fight these fanciful policies where there's still anything left to fight for.
Sure. And I got to believe there's going to be a collapse at some point, because with those kind of costs for security, the only reason you're paying that is you think that this is temporary. This is crazy. They'll get this under control. Once you realize, no, this isn't going to change anytime soon, then you do like Walgreens did, where you just close up shop. You realize, well, this is not a business model that works. You can't pay this kind of money and have this kind of theft and stay open. We got to close.
Right. I find myself wondering whether you're talking about L.A., which had a number of smash and grabs, Chicago, San Francisco, Bay Area, obviously. How many, like the fancy stores, like, I don't know, like Nordstrom, they got smashed up in a couple of places and looted. Will they put up with that for one more year if it happens more? 2 more years? At what point did they say, tell with it, we're closing?
Well, like I said, I got to believe it doesn't make sense financially already. It's just they assume this is somebody's going to do something about this. So I think a lot of it is emotional of whether it seems like anybody's going to do anything about this, if there's any public will to do anything.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's well, it's something. We're at peak stupid, as I mentioned.
Oh, my God. Well, and I keep saying civilization is coming apart.
Right, right, indeed. So we got a number of notes on the Chris Cuomo situation. JT, always thought-provoking, pointing out that he says, I dislike Cuomo as much as the next guy, but isn't he being scapegoated? I'm not sure scapegoated is the word, but his very recent indefinite suspension sure looks like, well, it looks odd is his point. And then he includes links to like 15 different articles from news sources who've been saying all along, this guy masquerades as a journalist, and he's super cozy with his brother, the governor, even as he covers them. This is journalistic ethics gone mad during this whole episode, which was my point yesterday. He's a partisan hack. He's standing up for his big brother. Everybody knows it. So now that it's been proved that we're supposed to be aghast, sorry, I'm just not.
Yeah, who didn't think he was shading the story to help his brother? Was there anybody?
Well, stay tuned. If you miss a segment, you can always get the Armstrong and Getty Show on demand. ArmstrongandGettyShow.com.
Armstrong and Getty.
Don't let diabetes get in your way. With Dexcom, you'll spend more time feeling good because you'll spend more time in range. It's a fact that the more time people with diabetes spend in range, the better they feel. Don't you want to feel better more often? Of course you do. Listen. It's not all about A1Cs anymore. Time spent in range is the time spent with glucose levels in a healthy range. Dexcom is a small, discreet, wearable device that continuously monitors your levels and sends glucose readings to your phone every 5 minutes. There's even arrows on the app that show you where you're heading and how fast, so you can make adjustments. The best part about wearing a Dexcom G6 device is just that. You're wearing it. No more finger sticking or scanning, which makes it much easier to keep your glucose levels in range for longer. Learn more about the Dexcom G6 device at Dexcom.com. The more time you spend in range, the better you feel. So don't wait. That's Dexcom.com. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
It's Ashley I from the Almost Famous podcast. You've done everything you can to lose that stubborn fat, exercise, eat right. But lately, it has gotten harder, believe me, I hear you. If you're getting ready to make your re-entrance into the world, CoolSculpting may be able to help. It's a non-surgical treatment that targets, freezes, and eliminates treated fat cells for good. I was treated on my thighs, and I can totally see a difference. Ask your doctor if CoolSculpting is right for you. Common side effects include temporary numbness, discomfort, and swelling. Find a provider at CoolSculpting.com.
CoolSculpting is FDA cleared to reduce fat on the abdomen, flanks, thigh, bra fat, back fat, upper arm, and under the buttocks, chin, and jawline. CoolSculpting is not a treatment for weight loss. Rare side effects may occur. CoolSculpting may cause visible enlargement on the treated area after treatment and requires surgical intervention for correction. To learn more, visit CoolSculpting.com. All rights reserved by Allergan. That's CoolSculpting.com.
It's Ashley I from the Almost Famous podcast. You've done everything you can to lose that stubborn fat, exercise, eat right. But lately, it has gotten harder. Believe me, I hear you. If you're getting ready to make your re-entrance into the world, CoolSculpting may be able to help. It's a non-surgical treatment that targets, freezes, and eliminates treated fat cells for good. I was treated on my thighs, and I can totally see a difference. Ask your doctor if CoolSculpting is right for you. Common side effects include temporary numbness, discomfort, and swelling. Find a provider at CoolSculpting.com.
CoolSculpting is FDA cleared to reduce fat on the abdomen, flanks, thigh, bra fat, back fat, upper arm, and under the buttocks, chin, and jawline. CoolSculpting is not a treatment for weight loss. Rare side effects may occur. CoolSculpting may cause visible enlargement on the treated area after treatment and requires surgical intervention for correction. To learn more, visit CoolSculpting.com. All rights reserved by Allergan. That's CoolSculpting.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So, Joe almost went to law school. Have you ever heard that story?
Oh, yeah. Heck, I filled out paperwork. I was this close.
That's how serious you were about going to law school. You nearly went. So well, you
I bring that knowledge to the show.
the considered going to law school knowledge.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So Supreme Court heard oral arguments on the biggest case around abortion really in 50 years, maybe, certainly in 30 years. And let's start from here, cuz I took in a lot of information on this, and since you almost went to law school, make sure we all completely understand what we're talking about here. Let's set our parameters.
Yes.
Mississippi passes a law, you can't perform any abortion after 15 weeks. One thing I learned yesterday, and that has been was challenged in the court, said, no, you can't do that, and now it's at the Supreme Court to decide whether or not you can do that or not. I learned yesterday, and I didn't know this, the vast, vast majority, I'll have to look up the statistics, but I mean the vast, vast majority of abortions are performed before 15 weeks. Which I found very interesting. So if that law was the law of the land all across the United States, this horrific handsmaid tale law that sets us back centuries.
Back alleys,
the vast, vast
coat hangers, et cetera.
The vast, vast, vast majority of abortions would still be performed like they always have been.
Right. Right.
Which I find really, really interesting.
Well, and another interesting aspect of the question that I was unaware of was one of the lawyers and a couple of the soups were discussing the various countries around the world and what their policies are. Though we do not need to look to international law to figure out our own constitution, I just thought it was, of interest. Well, one of the main questions before us was, the idea of you don't want to overturn a big giant precedent if you can avoid it. Or at the very least, you don't want to overturn it casually. And as Shannon Bream reports, Brett Kavanaugh had some questions and some thoughts on that question. Give us 32, Michael.
The bulk of today's arguments did focus on when it's appropriate for the country's highest court to overrule something considered one of its landmark decisions. As Justice Kavanaugh noted, the court has done repeatedly.
If we think that the prior precedents are seriously wrong, if that, why then doesn't the history of this court's practice with respect to those cases tell us that the right answer is actually to return to the position of neutrality and not stick with those precedents in the same way that all those other cases didn't?
Justice Kavanaugh also noted that even if the court decided to overrule Roe and Casey, states would still be free to make their own decisions about access to abortion.
Oh, sorry, I thought that was background noise at the court. Right. So they jawed back and forth on that. And let's see. Let's get a little Justice Roberts quote here. Clip 35, Michael.
So viability, it seems to me, doesn't have anything to do with choice. But if it really is an issue about choice, why is 15 weeks not enough time?
So he's making the point that at the point that a fetus, a baby, can survive outside the womb, it's not about choice anymore. It's about, and this is according to Roe v. Wade, it's about balancing the interest between one human being and another human being. And we're pretty clear on the fact that one human being doesn't get to kill another human being just because they find it convenient. And Robert's point was, well, okay, you know, given the science and everything these days, is 15 weeks a good standard or no? And if it's not, why not? And
well, starting with the Shannon Bream clip that we played where she gets into the Kavanaugh argument, which he seemed to be the one leading the charge on that all day long. Is there's plenty of examples of us overturning longstanding precedent, and we decided it was a really, really good idea.
Oh, in fact, it's a lot of those things are seen as the most heroic moments in the court's history.
Right. He mentioned Brown versus the Board of Education. When we finally started to do away with separate but equal, which had been around for decades and decades and decades. Mm-hmm. And you could have made the argument, well, this is the way we've already done it. We've always done it, so we better have drinking fountains for black people and drinking fountains for white people. Well, that's the way we already have always done it. We didn't keep that standard. We moved on and decided right. It was a good idea.
Right, indeed. And it's universally agreed upon. So there were a couple of notable quotes. Some I thought were interesting points. Some I thought were wildly inappropriate. Here's Chief Justice Roberts in clip 37.
There are states that have bans.
Well, I know, but I'd like to focus on the 15-week ban because that's not a dramatic departure from viability. It is the standard that the vast majority of other countries have. When you get to the viability standard, we share that standard with the People's Republic of China and North Korea. And I don't think you have to be in favor of looking to international law to set our constitutional standards to be concerned if those are your share that particular time period.
Making the point, am I right, that hey, you know who allows late-term abortion? North Korea and China.
Yeah.
Yeah,
loathsome communist dictatorships.
I've been misled on this issue like most of my adult life, and it shouldn't be a surprise because we get most of our information from way left-leaning media and always have. It's just what most of what you see on TV and the big newspapers are. And so I've been led to believe that if you'd ask me, as a 35-year-old, are we more restrictive or less restrictive on abortion? I would have thought, oh, well, Europe, they're wide open in Europe. We're way more restrictive. No, that's not the case. We allow late-term abortion in ways that they don't practically anywhere in the world.
Right, right. I would have been right there with you. I'd have thought, oh, yeah, the fundamentalist types in America have dragged policy to the right. I happen to agree with a lot of it. But, yeah, I would have been misled, too. I thought Elena Kagan was way out of line yesterday. Way out of line. She... instead of comporting herself as a Supreme Court justice, a learned lawyer, an analyst of the law, she comported herself like she was on the steps of the Capitol screeching into a megaphone. I let Shannon Bream set it up because she does a good job and she's so cute. Clip number 30, please.
Pro-life advocates have been open about their hopes of overturning Roe and its follow-up case, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, based on the court's current makeup. And that had the liberal justices warning today that taking that step could appear purely political.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts?
The perception that you just tried to solidify, like you're a protester. I didn't hear any of that. I listened to quite a bit of the questioning and the lawyers joining. It seemed to me they were either A, trying to overturn a bad decision that took an important question out of the hands of the people in the legislatures, and B, just trying to fine-tune policy on one of the most divisive questions in front of mankind, the stench. I didn't think there's any stench. I thought it was incredibly careful and deliberate. Now, people who listen to CNN and MSNBC and the rest of them are going to come away thinking it was some outrageous, purely political thing, but partly because people like you are trying to hint that it is. And by the way, you did not have the balls, and I use that term deliberately.
Wow.
You didn't have the balls to just say it will be a stench. You said, will the court survive the perception that it was political and there's a big, giant stench on the court? The perception. What?
An aggressive sense.
Well, how about you do what's right and worry about the perception later?
If our last remaining above it all institution breaks down the way everything else has,
based on what might happen on Twitter,
and they start talking to each other like they do in Congress, you're a liar. No, you're a liar. I mean, oh my God. But anyway,
there will be a stench on the court. There's a stench in the court, all right, and I think I know who it is. Hey-o! Roberts and Thomas high five. Yeah.
Hi-o! You stink is what we're saying. The Dispatch wrote today on that topic, conservative legal scholar scoffed at Sotomayor's suggestion. Nothing hurts the court's legitimacy more than a decision like Roe versus Wade, in which the court ignored the Constitution and announced a new national policy based on what the court wanted to do, said Thomas Gipping, senior fellow at the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Every justice believes that, in general, courts should follow their past decisions, and no justice believes that the court should always do so. The question is, when should an incorrect decision or precedent be overruled? That's the issue. So to suggest that overruling a precedent will somehow make the court look political, really? Did the court look political in Brown versus the Board of Education? And I mean, that's one of the few cases they teach us in, you know, junior high. It's such an important decision. Did that make the court look political because they overturned decades and decades of precedent? Of course not. They righted a wrong.
You know what? And I don't think we have this clip, and I should ask for it. My bad. Roberts unleashed a list of major historic overturnings of precedent that are 201 hailed as the greatest decisions the court has made. And each one of them, you know, gave the finger to the decisis thingamajigger.
Yeah, Kavanaugh used the example of outlawing separate but equal, which we've already mentioned, the recognition of the constitutional right for same-sex marriage. I mean, that was a real change in the way we looked at the law in this country.
Right.
And do most people think that that was a horrible decision? Well, polls don't say so.
Yeah, Hanson, see if you can come up with, I'm pretty sure it was Roberts who listed great overturnings of precedent.
To me, the fact that the vast majority of abortions occur before 15 weeks, and that's the horrific standard that Mississippi is trying to set, I don't.
Well, it was portrayed practically unanimous by our beloved media as draconian, as extreme, as brutal.
You know who's extreme? The freaking media. You don't have to trust us. If you see us as right-wing AM talk show hosts or whatever,
FM stations.
You don't have to believe us. Look at Gallup polling on this. The majority of Democrats don't think abortion past the first trimester is freaking scary and horrible.
Right. Absolutely true.
Only the media thinks that it's some sort of setback to not allow full-on babies inside a mom to be murdered.
Right.
Only the media thinks that that's a problem.
They fear giving an inch, even a very, very reasonable, practically universally agreed upon inch, for fear that the scary, scary conservatives will take a mile. It's just crazy. It's no way to run a country.
Now, you're not supposed to draw conclusions from the questioning, but man, an awful lot of people left, right, and center seem to think it's going toward doing away with Roe versus Wade.
Well, I listened again to quite a bit of the oral arguments, and the gal attacking the Mississippi law, very, very smart, very capable. At no point was she caught unprepared or did not have an answer. I thought I was impressed by her. And I thought her very skillful answers were just unpersuasive. She just didn't have a great case.
So we can talk more about this later. This is a very serious case. The complete flip side is the stupid, stupid trial that's going on, the Jesse Smollett case.
Oh. It is some of the finest comedy unleashed on America in the last 10 years.
Did he have a bad day? Like I've been saying all week long, I can't believe he allowed this to go to trial. I'll agree to anything. Just don't trot out before the public how stupid I am.
I will conclude this discussion of that case. And by the way, I have something life-affirming and fun and beautiful coming up, believe awesome. It or not. But I will end my analysis of the Jussie Smollett situation in the following way. I've lived a life of varied interactions with people in the fields of the arts, science, business, etc. I will tell you this. There are people who are very attractive and very talented and stupid as a dog.
Okay. Michael was raising his hand. Very attractive, very talented.
Then it all went south.
Then it all fell apart.
They're very attractive and talented, but they're dumb. They make bad decisions.
Very attractive. Michael puts his hand up. any comment on our analysis of the Supreme Court thing or anything else? Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
On our show, How to Money, we've talked before how I've been able to generate some side income by hosting my basement on Airbnb. We believe that it makes a lot of sense for folks to use an asset that they already have to generate income for them. And plus, I got to meet a lot of cool people.
Yeah, Matt, and I've stayed in many Airbnb homes over the years. I've had great experiences, and I've always talked about becoming an Airbnb host, but I've never done it. And I think that's because I've had some lingering questions, some practical, some a little more existential. And I want to know, like, how do I get started? And what's it going to feel like to actually begin inviting strangers into my home? Then there are other questions like, where do I store my stuff? And is the money worth it? It turns out I'm not the only one who has these sorts of questions. So Airbnb has introduced Ask a Superhost. It's a new way to get free one-on-one help from Airbnb's most experienced hosts.
And so whether you've thought about hosting before or just started to wonder if it's right for you, you can now learn from someone who's already hosting. Start asking at airbnb.com/askasuperhost.
After last year, we all deserve a holiday do-over. More joy, more color, more hugs, more time spent with those who matter in looks you'll all love. Let's re-holiday the holidays. This year, Old Navy's made gifting for the whole fam, including yourself, of course, easier than ever at your local Old Navy store and oldnavy.com. Rekindle the coziness with colorful Fair Isle, 90s-inspired juicy fruit stripes, fancy fleece with ruffly party shoulders, snuggly accessories in matching patterns, and of course, the brand new drop of Jingle Jammies for 2021, including a Santa print in multiple skin tones. They come in tons of styles and sizes for the whole fam, including the four-legged members. And if you just can't choose, let them choose with a quick and easy gift card. Now's the perfect time to recheck that gift list, starting with our favorite, you. Stop by and say hi or visit oldnavy.com to shop today. Or whenever you're done with this episode.
Hey, How to Money listeners, we had a chance to catch up with Joel Dixon, head of enterprise advice methodology at Vanguard, and he talked about Vanguard's approach to advice.
In the case of Vanguard, the investors are also the owners. And so you remove one set of conflict of interest, and that can generate additional peace of mind or trust in the advice that's being given. We're talking about providing good advice to meet long-term financial goals for clients. It is about a holistic approach across the entire, if you will, balance sheet of the investor, not just the investments that somebody might think about. That in many ways is that value of ownership. There's this alignment of not having competing interests of what are you trying to sell or what are you trying to benefit in terms of different people.
A big thanks to Joel Dixon for stopping by. And remember, at Vanguard, you're more than just an investor, you're an owner. Find out more at vanguard.com/howtomoney.
All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Investor-owned means that fund shareholders own the funds, which in turn own Vanguard. Services are provided by Vanguard Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Hour two, we really ought to talk about the proposed travel restrictions that they're either going to add or continue around Omicron that are just crazy.
Well, and inexplicable.
And this is for vaccinated people, too. What happened to the, you get vaccinated?
Doesn't matter, vax or no.
You get vaccinated, you get your life back, huh? What happened to that?
So people are angry as hell in Australia and fighting and smashing and threatening death and the rest of it. And we'll get back to the horrors of the world and how America is now at peak stupid. I have sensitive equipment. We are at the peak of stupidity. We'll get back to that in a minute. But first, I wanted to tell you this tale sent along by alert listener Jeff. One of the first practices of the season, freshman basketball team Notre Dame Prep, Pontiac, Michigan. Coach tells his 14 players, hey, set up a group chat on your cell phone so you can communicate practice times and coordinate transportation, whatever you need to do. Everybody ought to have everybody else's numbers. Well, the 14, 15-year-olds got 13 of those phone numbers right, but the 14th, one of the players messed up a digit. So a random guy chimes in on what was supposed to only be the freshman basketball team conversation.
Here comes porn.
And he says, no, he says, y'all meant to add me to this? Yeah, they told him, thinking it was their teammate. He goes, you know who I am? He replied, and they said, yeah, you're our teammate. Well, it turns out it wasn't their teammate. Turns out the interloper was Sean Murphy Bunting, cornerback for the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Murphy Bunting, who's in his third NFL season, identified himself to his 13 new group chat friends. But the teenage basketball players still think it's their fellow teammate trying to pull a fast one, right? So Murphy Bunting sent them proof, a selfie of himself, throwing up a peace sign in front of his locker, bedecked with his Bucks helmet and shoulder pads. Still, a few of the boys were skeptical. So he FaceTimed the boys. Jason Whalen, an assistant coach whose 15-year-old son plays on the team, recounted the conversation of the WAPO. He said his son gave him the play-by-play. What followed was a whirlwind tour of the Bucks locker room, including introductions to all the boys, to some of the team's most famous members, tight end Rob Gronkowski, wide receiver Mike Evans, cornerback Richard Sherman, running back Leonard Fournette. One of the guys had Fournette on his fantasy football team.
Wow.
For the Bucks' upcoming Sunday game. So we encouraged the running back to have a big game.
That's hilarious.
4 days later, Fournette runs for 100 yards, scores 4 touchdowns over the Colts. And then the kids, they got a little greedy. They got a little bit greedy. They said, hey,
is that Tom Brady there by any chance?
Can we talk to Tom Brady?
Yeah, how would you not ask that?
Well, Fournette said, bad news. Brady's in a meeting. But he stayed on the phone. Fournette, the all-star freaking running back, had chatted with the boys for another 10 to 15 minutes. Then, all of a sudden, a face pops in front of the phone. It's the GOAT, Tom Brady. What's up, fellas? He asks them. They absolutely lost their minds at that point, one of the dads. Brady, they go into how big they are. So he chats with the boys for a while. It was nice, said Brady. It would have been nice for me when I'd been high school, too. Even better, because he was from, I think he was from Michigan originally. Well, he played for the Wolverines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was sweet and great, and these kids' heroes giving them a bunch of their time. It was just nice.
Of course, he was in San Mateo in high school. Just down the road here.
Right.
So, but you've mocked me many times over the years, and rightfully so, like when I give a phone number and get a number wrong, and you say you have to get all the numbers right, because if you get one number wrong, it's not like you get the business next door.
Right.
But this seems to be different. They got one number wrong, and you get a different sports league? So your basketball players, you get one number wrong, you end up with pro football players. I mean, that's not the way.
It's kind of funny.
That's not the way phone numbers work,
right? It's not like you got one digit wrong and got a celebrity chef or something like that, or a great architect. No, it was another athlete, just a different one. I just thought that was sweet.
If I'm trying to call a steakhouse and I get one number wrong, I don't end up with a pizza place. That's not just
the way phone numbers work.
No, but it did in this case.
Yeah,
that is really something.
I may have to become a Bucks fan. I don't know.
Hey, what happened to if you get vaccinated, you get your life back? What is the Biden administration talking about with these travel restrictions? If you haven't heard about it, kickoff hour two. If you miss an hour of the show, go to armstrongandgetty.com, grab the podcast.
Armstrong and Getty.
It's Ashley I from the Almost Famous podcast. You've done everything you can to lose that stubborn fat, exercise, eat right. But lately, it has gotten harder, believe me, I hear you. If you're getting ready to make your re-entrance into the world, Kool Sculpting may be able to help. It's a non-surgical treatment that targets, freezes, and eliminates treated fat cells for good. I was treated on my thighs, and I can totally see a difference. Ask your doctor if CoolSculpting is right for you. Common side effects include temporary numbness, discomfort, and swelling. Find a provider at CoolSculpting.com.
CoolSculpting is FDA cleared to reduce fat on the abdomen, flanks, thigh, bra fat, back fat, upper arm, and under the buttocks, chin, and jawline. CoolSculpting is not a treatment for weight loss. Rare side effects may occur. CoolSculpting may cause visible enlargement on the treated area after treatment and requires surgical intervention for correction. To learn more, visit CoolSculpting.com. All rights reserved by Allergan. That's CoolSculpting.com.
Have you ever wondered what the media and big tech is hiding from you? Like massive stories that actually affect you in your life that they don't want you to see because they make the left and the Biden administration look bad. Well, now there's a podcast dedicated to exposing all of that each and every day. So download the fastest growing podcast in the conservative movement, The Ben Ferguson Show Podcast, right now. That's right. You can listen to Ben Ferguson Show Podcast on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Download it right now.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.